I think it's now 4 minutes past, so we probably should make a start. I'm not really sure if we've got critical mass to proceed with the call, but let's at least have a roll call and of who is on the call. And apologies, please, Gabby.
Yes, we have Ugo Akiri, at least through Adobe, I think. Not on the phone, but I think he's listening in. And then we have Becky Burr, Keith Davidson, Stephen Deerhake, and Daniel Kelhefer seems also to be listening through Adobe. And we have Patricia Pobleta and Bill Semick and Cheryl Langdonor from staff. We have Bernie and myself. And we have apologies from Martin Boyle, Dejan Djukic, Paulus Nirenda, Suzanne Riddell, and Nigel Roberts, and Bart and Christine are on holiday.
Okay, and Chris Despain has just texted me to offer his apologies for lateness. He said he will be joining us, but he'll compensate for his lateness by leaving the call early.
Okay.
I
figured
I'll do that.
I guess that makes sense-ish.
Appreciating everybody or those who have made the call, it is quite a long list of apologies, but I think shall we make a start and see what we can do. I think last or 2 weeks ago we had to cancel the call because it just wasn't sufficient mass. I'm not sure if this is what we'd properly call a quorum, not that we have a proper quorum requirement, but I'm not sure that we've got a clear critical mass, but let's work through at least items 3 and 4 on the agenda, see if we can make some progress, and maybe we'll call it a short call and limit ourselves to an hour in the circumstances, or at least see how we go. Is everyone quite relaxed about that? Excellent. Any other changes to the agenda? Please excuse me too if I go a bit vague or off topic. I'm just 8 hours home from Japan, so and it's 1 a.m. in New Zealand. So if I start to ramble, Becky, slap me and take over.
I doubt you'll ramble.
Just set that alarm off again that greeted me.
That'll do it.
That was just feedback from my opening up the Adobe room and with the speakers on while talking on the telephone.
So any one of us could do that.
Yes. It gets a loop going that perpetuates itself. And I see Everhart just joined on the Adobe Connect room. So welcome, Everhart, and assume you can hear us, or if you're not hearing us, you will do shortly. Okay, can we move to the meeting report of 28 June? Is there any comments, anything that isn't otherwise on the agenda? Any discussion, Bernie?
Given we covered a bit of ground, I adjusted the format a bit for the report, presenting the areas where we did do work and what came out and what was supposed to be the follow-on work. But apart from that, I don't think there's anything special.
If there's no comments, we'll consider the meeting report accepted and move on to item 4 on the agenda, the revocation topic. And Bernie, do you want to step us through where we're at and where we're going?
Oh, there you go. Somebody else did it.
That was not my comment.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, we can hear you fine, but there's quite a bit of background sound as well.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the airport lounge on the BlackBerry Adobe Connect on the BlackBerry Playbook.
Maybe you can mute.
I'm trying to mute now.
Okay, thank you. And I've just lost the Adobe Connect completely, so I'll rejoin. But anyway, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. Okay, basically we have not finished going through version 2.1 of the revocation document. And so I haven't updated the document because I usually wait until we finish a full pass at the document before doing updates. So I would propose, if it's okay, that we actually pretty much carry on from where we stopped last time.
Yes, please.
Which was in our face-to-face.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, please, Bernie. I'm not hearing any objections.
Okay. So let me actually pull that up.
Well, while we're waiting, Eberhard, I think we can still hear airport news, so you may not have actually muted properly.
Okay, can you hear this?
I can hear you, yes, Eberhard.
Okay, so I have to, I'll find a way. There is a way of muting, don't worry. We'll just take a little bit longer to unmute then.
Okay.
Okay, so we basically stopped at 5251 on June 28th in Prague. So I will bring the document down and increase the size a bit because my eyes actually can't read this too much.
I can't read it at all.
Okay. Whoa, that's a bit. All right. Sounds like we're about here.
Bernie, you're going to have to tell us where here is because it's where it's individually scrollable.
Yeah, 5251. You're about three quarters of the way down the document.
Thank you.
5.2.5.1.
Basically, the last comment we had from that was that Kim and I were supposed to look at that. So I guess we're over at 5252. But just to get us back into the swing of things, let's go back up a bit. We just finished defining substantial misbehavior in 524. And in 525, we're looking at the process for revocation, which takes us to 5252. The FOI working group sees that it is consistent with RS 1891 to allow a manager the right to appeal the notice of revocation by the IANA contractor to an independent body. So we'll keep, if everyone's okay, we'll just keep doing this the way we usually do. We'll do it chunk by chunk. This is our next chunk. The right to appeal. Comments,
yep.
Thoughts, et cetera. Doesn't sound like anything. I'm in full screen mode, so I'm not seeing if there are hands up. So, Keith, I'm going to count on you.
Yep. No comments. Go for it, Benny.
Okay. 5253. The IANA contractor should develop and post the procedures necessary for the revocation of the delegation of a CCTLD based on the work of the FOI working group. These procedures should be reviewed and approved by the CCNSO as it will be responsible for monitoring these. Thoughts, comments, questions, 5253. Hearing none, sounds like it's okay. So I'll take it that for this limited group at least, we were okay up to 52, 53. And that sort of closes off the section on significant misbehavior, if you will. So that's the end of what happens under 3.4, significant misbehavior. 5.3, we start on revocation for persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain, which is section 3.5 of RFC 1591. So are we all okay to head into 5.3?
Yep, okay. Go for it, Benny.
So basically, we've got our usual standard format, listing what's actually said. 5.3.1, in cases there are persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain, the delegation may be revoked and possibly delegated to another designated manager. Quote. I'm not expecting any arguments with that, given it's a straight cut and paste from RFC 1591. Are we good on 5.3.1? Okay. Moving on, 5.3.2. Persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, meaning a ccTLD in our case. 5.3.2.1. The technical operation of TLDs has greatly evolved from the time of publication of RFC 1591, along with the use of the Internet. And although still a specialized field, this is standard knowledge for networking specialists and is supported by a large volume of easily accessible documentation and applications. In addition to this, there are a number of service providers which specialize in performing these services under contract for ccTLD managers. So that's sort of an introduction, if you will. I think we've gone through that on our first pass of the revocation document and sort of stood the test. Questions, comments?
Stephen's
okay.
Indicating a tick.
Sorry, Bill?
I'm a little bit lost. Can you tell me where we are now?
5.3.2.1.
Okay, I was back at 5.2.3.1.
No, not 5.2.3. 5.3.2.1. Yes, 5.3.21.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Okay, so I'll take it that the general concept of 5.3.21, which just states this is not magic, is okay. Moving on to 5.3.22. The IANA contractor has not published its expectations as far as what constitutes a manager doing a satisfactory job of operating the DNS service for the domain, or ccTLD, or what should be considered persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain. So that's 5.3.22, basically saying we've got this statement in 3.5 of RFC 1591, but that there is no documentation from IANA regarding what is satisfactory job of operating the DNS service or what constitutes persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain. So. Any questions, thoughts on 5.3.2.2?
Becky has her hand raised. I'll go to Becky in a moment, but I guess the issue, firstly, is that there is sort of, I guess, what we would call industry best practice that has evolved over time and will continue to evolve for the operation of the DNS. I wonder if we should be referencing the concept in 5.3.2.1 in that regard to indicate that there is, there are...
I think we were trying to put that into 5.3.2.3 last time, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay. Anyway,
so
I see.
We're only sort of saying in 5.3.22 that from the documentation that's available on the IANA site, there is nothing which references those points directly.
Oh, yeah, no, fair enough. Okay, Becky has a hand raised. So, Becky.
I'm just having this moment of anxiety as to whether or not this constitutes IANA making policy and where that puts us with the IANA functions contract. I mean, I think it would help if we said something that, like, in there that IANA has not documented, current industry best practices or something like that, so that, I don't know, maybe I'm overreacting to it, but it just makes me a little nervous.
Hi, it's Chris. I just want you to know I've joined the call.
Excellent.
Actually, Chris, you might have thoughts on this one.
I'm sure I have, Becky, but I've no idea what you're talking about. So.
Well, welcome, Chris. I did note your apology for lateness and that you would compensate by leaving the call early as well.
Yes, I'll be late and leave early.
For Chris's sake, we're at 5.3.2.1 and 0.2 on the document. Bernie, let's carry on noting Vicky's reservations, but let's just get down the page a little bit and see where we get to with this.
Yes, sir. What I was saying to Becky, but I noticed that I was talking to a muted phone, was that really 5322 is just about saying IANA doesn't reference this in any way, shape, or form. So, we can expand this to include industry best practices or other things. I am sensitive to what Becky is saying, and we may actually be more sensitive to it in 5323. But note it, and let's carry on to 5323.
Just before we do, Bill has his hand raised. So, Bill, did you hear? Oh, your hand's gone down.
Yeah, well, actually, I had thought that I would wait until 5323, but then Becky's comment sort of made me jump the gun. But it's 5323 that I'll comment on once Bernie's made his presentation.
Okay. Carry on, Bernie. Sorry.
Okay, so I guess I'm doing 5323 at this point.
Yep.
IANA should develop documentation as to what constitutes a manager doing a satisfactory job of operating the DNS service for the domain based on currently accepted standards and what should be considered to be persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, and then undertake a public consultation on this. So, from our last go at this paragraph, we added in, as I was talking earlier, based on currently accepted standards. So, let's go to it, and I think Bill has the first go at it.
I guess this is more a cautionary note rather than a suggestion of how to deal with this. Of course, we know that ICON, not IANA, although I'm not sure what IANA's role is with the new GTLDs, but ICON certainly has a series of technical requirements and expectations for the proper operation of TLDs in the generic space, all the way back to the .com contract. And I don't know whether this is something we should be concerned about or not, but it would kind of be obtuse for us to ignore it. That's my comment.
And that's very relevant, Bill. I did go and get the specifications, operational specifications and DNS-related things from the new GTLD contract and the expectations. There are obviously things in there which could fit into this if this is what we decide to refer to it, and I can No, it's been a little while, but I'm sure I can dig it up again and circulate it to people. But I think the point at this level, whenever we get down to significant details, we always get into trouble on the FOI side of things. So maybe there is some wisdom to just sort of leaving it in a generic fashion like this is my only comment to people. But I'll throw it over to Keith and see what he wants to do with it.
Well, I think just sort of noting Stephen's comment too on the chat and Adobe Connect saying this smells like policy development on the part of IANA. I don't think it is. There is the clear policy statement in RFC 1591, and this is a development of colour and depth, I would have thought. I think throwing it back to IANA to go through a process is not, I don't think, is in any way contravening the spirit of the contract with NTIA or IANA's obligations. I guess it would be nice to have Kim or Elise on the call to talk that through more, but perhaps we could note that as a topic to if those on the call agree, we can enter into an open discussion with IANA staff on. Not hearing any objection to that, so perhaps we'll progress down that path. So continue, Bernie.
Give me a sec, I'm finishing writing the note. Okay. Anything else on 5323?
It's Bill.
Hi, Bill.
I will say that from a purely operational point of view, the technical manager for a TLD, if there were certain specific standards available for managers to know that, they as a goal for them to meet, even if they're smaller TLDs and maybe have to work their way to it, it would probably be a great relief for many managers. That's just a comment.
Keith, can I come in?
Sure, Eberhard.
Maybe the technical working group, we have a liaison in Jay to IANA. Is this not maybe something that we should explore from, for example, from a technical point?
That's possible too. I think if there, I guess the concern is that we'd be signing up for a constantly changing set of criteria as well, which may be difficult for some CCTLD managers to subscribe to, because as we know, the DNS continues to evolve, and so will best practice along the way.
I was thinking of some minimal standards. Best practices, and so there is no requirement. It's just a minimum that which constitute serious misconduct.
Okay, good suggestion. I'd like to hear from IANA staff as well. Chris, did you have a comment? Chris, you're on mute, I think.
You're correct. I am, but not anymore. Only just to say that I think Bill, I take Bill's point about having a standard, whatever the right word is. The challenge with that is, I think all of us are comfortable to agree to something as being a standard if we agree to it. And none of us are comfortable to agree to something being a standard if we don't. And so there's a challenge around that. And Eberhard's point about it being just like a minimum is all fine, and I agree with that too, and we'd be, you know, I'd personally be comfortable agreeing a minimum, but the challenge again becomes, what do you do if it doesn't suit you? And this has always been the case. We've had this discussion many, many times over the years outside of the context of this working group, just generally in the CCTLD community, about best practice and standards. And it's very, very hard to the concept of the moment you say the CC community agrees to this as a standard, it becomes incredibly dangerous, I think.
I fully agree.
Not for the CC community. It's for IANA to tell us what they expect as a minimum standard. We can work with IANA, but there is no industry standard, there is no CCNSO or CCTLD standard. I agree with Chris on that.
But Eberhard, what would you do if the IANA standard mandated something or suggested something that you didn't agree with?
Satisfactory job. Yeah. So far, the basics. To be honest, I think we should take that when we arrive at it. We should take that hurdle when we near it.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess the other issue is, determining what an unsatisfactory job is, as opposed to what a satisfactory job is. Okay. I think that Bernie, that gives us a steer, and perhaps that's something that we need to await a bit of reasonable interaction with IANA on when they make a call. So, shall we proceed with a question mark over 5.2.3. Sorry.
5323, Chair Notes, question mark, wait for the discussion with IANA. All right, we done with 5323?
I think so, yep.
Okay, 5324, this documentation could then be used as a reference point when considering DNS-related issues with the managers of CCTLDs. However we get to a standard is just basically saying that's what should be used. So just to recapture the thought as we're going through this, there is a policy statement in 3.5 of RFC 1591 that says the operator should do a good job of operating the domain, and if he doesn't, the domain could be revoked and delegated to someone else. IANA has not published, has no references, no reference manual material to say what is a satisfactory job or what is not. We're saying there should be such material. However, we get to that, and I think we've heard both sides of the argument that it's not necessarily going to be a simple thing. And Keith has said, well, it would be fun to bring in IANA on this call to see what happens. And we're saying if we do get to a point where there is some generic definitions that we can all agree on, whether it be minimum standards or anything else, then that should be published, and that's what should be used when trying to see if a manager meets up to the two requirements of doing a proper job or do a proper job. So any comments on 5324?
Doesn't appear to be, Benny.
Okay. So that closes off section 532, which moves us on to section 533, definition of revocation, where we will find a lot of text that is similar to what we had under significant behavior. 5331, as noted in Section 3 of RFC 1591, a new top level is usually created and its management delegated to a designated manager all at once. That's a quote. I don't think there should be a problem with that. 5332, we have some new text here versus the previous version of the revocation document. While the activities may occur more or less simultaneously in the case of a new CCTLD, this language reflects the distinction between, one, the creation and insertion of a CCTLD into the root, and two, the delegation of responsibility for the CCTLD to a designated manager. 5332, thoughts, comments?
Just for clarification, your point there, Bernie / Becky, who I think actually suggested that point, is that it's to differentiate that there's actually two separate streams of thoughts or just two separate actions occurring simultaneously.
That is correct. And yes, if I remember correctly, this is Becky's wordsmithing because it's significantly too good for me.
Can I come in?
Yes. Hello.
I don't like the word delegation in delegation of responsibility there.
I think that's exactly the wording that used. I'm pretty sure that that's why I...
Becky, you're echoing on us because you have your Adobe Connect speakers unmuted, I would think.
I have them muted, actually.
We're getting a lovely echo from you anyway. But
they may not have her microphone on the Adobe Connect muted.
Ah, yes.
I wasn't getting an echo earlier, right?
No,
I think I'll just, I'm just going to redial in.
Okay.
So we'll wait for, get Becky back?
Yeah. Well, shall we carry on and come back to that point? So the question that Everhart raised is over the use of the word delegation of responsibility. So can we come back to that one and carry on in the interim while we wait for Becky to get back on the call?
Given the points after it depend on this, I think it'd probably be best to wait the 90 seconds it's going to take from this point for Becky to get back.
Okay, let's wait. Would someone like to sing us a song then?
Not me.
I can ask the manager in the restaurant here to play music if you want.
which particular airport are you in, Everhart?
That is actually what a good idea. I'm at Windhoek International. I'm using a BlackBerry Playbook with the Adobe Connect software. I'm using a 3G MiFi as a Wi-Fi to get in. It's bloody marvelous.
It's the audio is extraordinarily good quality considering.
Yep.
I'm back.
Hi, Becky.
Oh, I'm still echoing.
Yes, you are.
You're not echoing to me.
Yeah, I don't think it's as bad as it was, Becky, but let's have a try. And so the question Everhart had was over the word delegation of responsibility and why you suggested the word delegation in that instance.
I'm just going to look it up, but I think that is the language that appears in 1591, and that's why I used it.
My problem is even worse in the next paragraph, the IANA contract manager conferring the responsibility. It's not for them to confer anything, and it seriously interferes with what happened before, and we opened can of worms, so we must find a way around this.
I'm not sure I understand the next issue.
It's the direction this takes. It's not IANA contract manager's thing to give.
I understand his point. I'm looking what we did in the previous section on this while Becky's looking up 1591.
Okay, and I note Bill's agreeing or has a tick on screen, but I'm not sure quite what he's agreeing with, whether he's agreeing with Eberhardt or Becky.
I'm sure it's Eberhardt. I'm sure it's Eberhardt.
It's not a problem for new delegations as of now, but it's a problem for existing delegations. We cannot say that this applies to existing delegations, because that would say it's for IANA contact manager to give, so it's for IANA contact manager to take away, not on.
I understand what Eberhardt is saying. I can't find a section right now, but I think we managed to write our way around this in an earlier section of the document. And what I will do is I will note that on 53, 33, we've got this point and should probably refer to how we handled it earlier.
I'm perfectly confident that we'll figure a way out.
Because
I clearly
remember we had that type of a problem and we came up with a solution.
Okay, so some further hard work for Bernie there.
Is Becky, have you found what you're looking for?
I'm still looking, but I'll get back together with you and look at the how we handled it in the previous section.
Okay.
This is Patricio. May I come in?
Yes. Hi, Patricio. Yeah, I just noticed your hand up, so please proceed.
Yeah. What I was suggesting in the chat was to use the same language that's in the RFC. There's no mention of responsibility in that paragraph. Rather, the word used is management. And as to what Eberhardt was saying, that's a valid concern, but wouldn't it suffice to make a distinction between CCTLDs that existed before the RFC was published and separate those from those that were delegated after the RFC?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Point noted.
For me, that would do it, but we decided that we don't really want to open that can of worms, isn't it?
We actually use that text in several places. We can certainly mention it again. I don't think that's inconsistent with a number of things.
But if we make a definition, we should at least try to come up with something that where we don't have to make that.
Agreed, it would be nicer, and I think Becky and I will be working on that.
Okay, so there's an action point for Becky and Bernie to work on that. Taking into account the points raised. Okay, can we move on? Thanks, Bernie. Bernie, you're muted. Bernie, you're still muted.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. So I'll consider those comments applicable to 5332 and 5333, that we have to go back to the similar language from higher up in the document.
Yep.
So then that takes us to 5334. Revocation could then be defined as the IANA contract manager rescinding the responsibility for the management of a CCTLD from an incumbent manager.
Mm-hmm.
questions, thoughts, comments?
Doesn't appear to be any.
Yeah, I think we had done okay with that. It's a question of process before we get there and what happens. Okay. 5335, because delegation and revocation only deal with transferring and rescinding responsibility for the management of SCCTLD from to a manager, there is no requirement or expectation that the CCTLD be taken out of the route if a delegation is revoked. The prime responsibility of the IANA contract manager to the security and stability of the Internet actually dictates that it undertake all means at its disposal to keep the domain functioning. 5335.
Stephen's indicating a tick. Other than that, there doesn't appear to be any comment.
Okay. That would close 533, which would then take us into 5-4, process to revoke a delegation, which is, this is the section that should be more similar to the section we've seen under significant misbehavior. Any problem for us to head into that?
Bill has his hand raised. Bill.
Yeah, I just lost the battery on my phone, so I'm trying the computer and just checking if you can hear me.
Yes, hear you fine, Bill.
Hey, I'm going to mute.
It's much better, actually, than the telephone.
Thanks to Apple.
Get bigger battery. No, I'm just kidding. 5341. The FOI working group also believes the intent of RFC 1591 is that revocation resort option for the IANA contractor. The IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to assist the manager to resolve any persistent issues with the operation of the CCTLD. Revocation should only be considered if the IANA contractor can reasonably demonstrate that the manager is unwilling or incapable because of significant incompetence to resolve the clearly identified and documented issues in an appropriate time frame. If the delegation is revoked, the IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to ensure the CCTLD will continue to resolve names and that the published process to identify a suitable replacement is undertaken and expedited. So that's a big one. Let's take comments and thoughts on that. It's basically an adjusted version of what we had under significant misbehavior to reflect the notion that we're working from 3.5 this time and that there is significant problems with the operation of the domain.
Doesn't appear to be any questions or comments. Bernie?
Okay. 5342. The FOI working group believes that it is consistent with RFC 1591 to allow a manager the right to appeal a notice of revocation by the IANA contractor to an independent body. We did not have a problem with that. The last time we went through it, or rather in the previous section, beyond, if I remember correctly, trying to understand what an independent body would be or might be. Thoughts, comments?
I must say the independent body that is referenced in the RFC is non-existent and would not be acceptable, because that is it's a unilateral body organized by IANA, as it says, and then its decisions is final. I don't think this is going to be easy.
So, Eberhard, are you suggesting then perhaps that we need to add color and depth to the concept of what an independent body might now mean, that it be a a jury of your peers, of other CCTLD managers or some such thing like that?
That would not be policy, because it hasn't existed, and now we would create another body that would need policy. I don't think so. This is a really difficult one. Maybe we should just take this 5341-42 out and overlook it.
Well, there is a clear referencing to this external body in 1591, so it does exist. I'm a bit reluctant to just let it go quite so quickly. I see Bill has his hand raised. So Bill.
The body has never been in existence.
Correct. I fully agree with you, Eberhard, in that regard. But it is referenced. So anyway, let's hear Bill's comment.
Yeah, I just had a question. Maybe Becky's experience has some experience with it. But I wonder how the appeal process in ICON might apply to CCTLDs through the IANA. I'm thinking of the process that .xxx used. I believe that was not an absolute kind of decision. It was more a review of the circumstances and a recommendation which was not binding on the board.
Yeah.
I only raise that because perhaps there's a process in place already.
So that was a judicial review in the U.S. by U.S. parties, so I think. But anyway, Becky, your clarification.
To the extent that there's board action on a IANA action or recommendation or whatever, then clearly the reconsideration and independent review mechanisms would be available. They're not great vehicles because reconsideration has a very, very narrow application, and the arbitration under independent review can be very expensive. But to the extent there is actual board action, they would be reviewable.
Yeah, and very expensive, no doubt.
And
yes.
This is an important thing. Yes. A small CCTLD just hasn't got the resources. So at this body has never been in existence. It would not have been, if it existed, independent, and its decision would be final, which they cannot be because you always have recourse to the court. So
I don't know.
Maybe we should just not talk about that.
I think Chris wants to make a point. Chris, you are muted. I assume that was Chris who asked to make a point. Chris, if you're talking, you're still muted.
No, that wasn't Chris.
Keith, Chris actually left the call, so it's not him.
Okay.
No, this is Nigel.
Oh, Nigel. Hi, Nigel.
Here is Nigel, finally.
I've been waiting patiently to try and get into the Adobe room.
Oh, excellent. Well, you're here now. Do you have a point to make?
Well, okay. First of all, I'm reluctant to go down Eberhard's route because, you know, the words are there in the existing RFC. Our job is to interpret them. We're the interpretation group, okay? But I agree with him when he says it's difficult because the interpretation we have to place on it is basically the rest of what he said, which is that in all disputes, and bearing in mind my interpretation of the IDNB clauses in RFC 1591 are that, again, it was intended this would be convened on a disputed delegation, not a dispute that subsequently arose. So, for example, somebody applied for, dare I sort of give the example of .Africa in the current situation, but somebody applied from a country, and there were two fairly competing groups wanted to run the CCTLD. And John Postel on his own would say, okay, well, we'll toss a coin. Let's just say he tossed a coin. We'll toss a coin, and you, Group A, can do it, and Group B is not happy that he's picked Group B. The IDNB, from interpreting the words, would appear to be a body which is, I think, would have been Joyce and Josh and John sitting together. In other words, the feeling I get from this is that it would be a little bit like a three-member panel as opposed to a one-member panel in UDRP. And they would then decide. You know, they would look at it again and see if... it's a bit like reconsideration, and as Becky says, this has a narrow scope. I think we've got to interpret it to say that it is not an appeal body because it is not independent. It is the IANA. So it's basically, as far as I can see, it's reconsideration and nothing else.
Okay. Thanks, Nigel. And I note Eberhard in the chat saying that he can live with that. Does that help?
What I'm saying is that if it's an appeal body that only reviews the decision who to delegate it, yes. But if it doesn't apply to revocation, then what I'm saying is correct. We don't need to deal with it.
May I continue and expand on that?
Yes, please, Nigel.
Okay. We've agreed in the past, and we don't need to dwell on the circumstances, we've agreed in the past that there are rare, hopefully very rare circumstances in which revocation might be possible and appropriate. Let's take that as a starting point. Let's presume that's the case. The issue of natural justice is really simple. If the IANA, or the US government and the IANA, or the ICANN board, or all three of them, or any combination of those, decide to revoke, it's a very serious thing, both for the incumbent operator and for the territory or country represented by the two-letter code that's concerned. So the actual act of doing this has to be surrounded by safeguards, and the safeguards have to be particularly safeguards against arbitrary action by the IANA contractor in particular, but there are all sorts of other possibilities whereby the process could go bad. So I think what we have to do is identify that there is not a satisfactory appeal to such a situation, if it ever existed, and that it is crying out for a policy development process to produce one. Or have I got that wrong?
I agree with that.
It's all gone remarkably quiet.
Yeah, I'm
at that effect.
Everybody but you and me is on mute.
Everyone was talking to themselves. Nigel, I think your point was, or points were well made, and I'd just like to add that I've always had this slight discomfort about the ICANN board appointing itself to always be the decider of what I guess essentially constitutes a revocation of a CCTLD and so on. And
Keith, as you know, I have serious professional and academic legal doubts about their authority to do that.
Sure.
I think you have practical nervousnesses about it as well. But leaving all that on one side, whoever may take and let's actually skip this. Let's finesse this argument. Let's say perhaps somebody one day could. Then, if somebody one day could, there must be natural justice and an appeal process, and you know, a stay of execution, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's got to be surrounded by the same principles that would apply, for example, if a government decided to revoke the license of Norddeutscher Rundfunk to operate television and radio in the area where I am today. It's possible. They have a license, after all, but it would have to be done for serious cause and a complete breach of the terms of appointment.
Well, governments have often nationalised various assets like railways and electricity and so on.
Perfectly possible, and there are very strict rules on how that may be done.
Yes, or varying degrees of rules depending
on the country concerned.
The country concerned, but I do take the point. But I think the issue to me, I mean, is the ICANN board safe in what it's doing? And so far it's proved to be safe because there hasn't been the capability of contesting that. But is it appropriate for the future compared to, say, the ICANN board saying, well, we have a redelegation request for, you know, a country, and so we're going to appoint a panel of experts to hear that redelegation and look into it. And that panel of experts could be High Court judges, constitutional experts in that country or neighbouring country, etc. So, you know, is that a safer, better process and so on? You know, this is kind of one of the fundaments for this group to consider, I think.
Well, I don't think it is, Keith. I think it's outside our scope. That's a policy development issue.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Can I just finish? Absolutely, it would be a policy development process, Nigel. I think that would be well beyond the interpretation of what the independent body might mean under 1591.
Before you pass it to Eberhard, can I just make a little point of order plea?
Sure.
I'm trying desperately to get into the Adobe room in order to be able to do this with by raising hands and so on. But it just keeps saying your request has been sent to the presenter. Please wait for a response.
Well, Nigel, I have let you in several times, and to me it appears you're in the room. So I'm not sure what's wrong with it. I have left you.
Okay, I'll close the browser down and start again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are shown as being in the room. Anyway, Eberhard.
I disagree that the decisions of the ICANN board have been safe. I disagree with the conclusion that they have been safe because nobody had the financial resources to appeal this. They have been unsafe. They're just nodding on the consensus agenda to whatever Ayana is saying. This is clearly not safe, and I just want to place this on the record.
I think we're actually saying the same thing in a roundabout fashion. But,
different definitions of the word safe.
Yes. But noted. Okay, anyway, we're moving a little bit off track, but a very, very interesting and probably pertinent factor for us to consider going forward. Bernie, are you happy to continue understanding that there is some difficulty with this idea of the independent body?
Yes. But I think you summed it up quite well. I mean, the concept is present. I'm just trying to make an entry for it. And at the end of the day, it may be Eberhard's point may be the right course that we simply take it out. But given it's in there, I think we are going to have to finish this discussion on that point. Because certainly we have started it in the previous section of the document. It's come back, I think, in a very realistic fashion. So we'll just have to decide at some point where we stand on this.
I think it may well be. I mean, I think there's a range of discussion to occur from whether we take it out or whether we recommend a PDP, as Nigel was suggesting. But I think if we can hold over on that, wait till we've got a fuller meeting and have a more robust discussion on those options, it would probably be worthwhile. Bill, you have your hand raised. Bill.
Yeah, I do. I think I'm going to push a little harder on this. I do think the language in this section is pretty innocuous. merely says we believe that consistent with 1591, a manager should be allowed to appeal. We don't say what kind of an independent body. We don't say who's going to create it, nor do we say must appeal or the decision is binding or any of that stuff. It's pretty innocuous. So
Okay, so further opinion, further diversity of opinion. Let's hold it for further debate. Thanks, Benny.
Yes, sir. I will close off 5342, taking us to 5343. The IANA contractor should develop and post the procedures necessary for the revocation of the delegation of the CCTLD. Based on the work of the FOI working group, these procedures should be reviewed and approved by the CNSO, as it will be responsible for monitoring these. And you'll recognize this text as being essentially the same text we had in the previous section. Questions, thoughts, comments?
There doesn't appear to be any.
Okay. 5.4 doesn't apply anymore because in our review of this version of the document, we've had relevant procedures taken out, so 5.4 should be struck.
Okay. That's easy.
Okay. And 5.5, the GAC principles. At this point, we're saying that as far as revocation is concerned, it doesn't seem to apply. But I guess we have some homework to finish relative to the GAC principles. And that's the end of what we've got on version 2.1 of the revocation document, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, I think that's been a reasonably a valuable piece of progress, surprisingly, with the small number of people on the call. But I think that's given us a bit more work to do, or when I say us, I mean Bernie.
Yes, absolutely. Now I can get to work, and I think I will try to deliver version 3 of revocation for our next call.
Excellent. Thank you. And our next call is set down for a couple of weeks' time. I did have noted on the agenda there's the issue of the response to the GAC on consent and the response to the GAC on SIP. And I think we'll hold those two items over. I think Martin had some very strong points on both, so I'll hold these two items over for our next call. Unless there's any other business, we'll meet again on the 9th of August at 2100 UTC. So if there's nothing else, I'll close the meeting and thank you all for your contributions and participation.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.